Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. On this podcast, we attempt to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, STEVENDBC@gmail.com. In this episode, this will be the second in a series of podcasts on the topic of heaven. If you would like to listen to the first one, you can find that in episode 20. So before we get started, grab your Bibles and let's begin. Now, for our first question in this episode, we're going to answer the question, is heaven a real place or just simply something that was made up? So again, is heaven a real place or is it something that we just simply made up over the course of history? Now, in order to answer this question, I'm going to start with a quote and a summary of a article that was in a book on heaven, and it referred to a Time magazine article that was entitled, Does Heaven Exist? And essentially the article asked various questions regarding heaven. I'm going to read these two questions and give you the responses. The first question was, do you believe in the existence of heaven where people live forever with God after they die? 81% of people said yes, 13 said no. The second question is, where do you believe you will go when you die? And the majority of people, 68%, said heaven, 3 said hell, and the rest, they just simply did not know. Now, the point behind asking that question and reading those questions is I want us to look at, again, is heaven real or something we simply made up? Now, the place in which we're going to look, though, is the Bible. What does God's Word have to say about it? God's Word is the source of truth. It's where believers we find our truth in, and we're going to look there. Now, one of the things to note is the word heaven is used somewhere around 550 times in the Bible. Now, one of the things that can be confusing, and I'm going to try to see if we can get some clarification on this, is, and I do think it will help with answering, is heaven a real place? So in the Bible, there's 550 times approximately that the word is used. The Bible also refers to three heavens. I say three in air quotes. You may be confused sometimes if you read the Bible when it makes references to these. So the Hebrews would have thought of heaven in three abodes or three locations, maybe. The first is Earth's atmosphere. So in other words, the first heaven, from a Jewish standpoint, was seen as Earth's atmosphere. So in other words, the clouds, if you will, in that upper atmospheric area. Then the second would have been the celestial heaven. And for this, you can probably figure that out. That would mean the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the solar system, if you will, all of creation that is outside of Earth's orbit, in other words. So that makes up the first and the second heaven. And then the third heaven is the one that we are talking about in this series of podcasts, but also the one that is typically referred to, which is what we would call the third heaven, which is the abode of God. So this is the one we're typically referring to. This is the one that we're focusing on in this series of podcasts. So heaven is used about 550 times. There are, from a Jewish standpoint, the idea from the Bible is three heavens, meaning three locations, the earth's atmosphere, the celestial, and then finally, the third heaven, which is the abode of God. Now, having said all that, the Bible does give us plenty of evidence that heaven is in fact real and not just something that we made up. And again, and just for clarification, the source of the truth, the source we're returning, is the Bible. And as long as we put our trust and our belief, as I do, and I hope that you do as well, that God's word is entirely true, then of course that becomes our source, if you will. So let's look at three places of evidence. The first is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. So again, Matthew 10, 32 through 33. Jesus there has been instructing the disciples in chapter 10 of Matthew, explaining that the road of discipleship is difficult, and he gives a meaning or description of discipleship. But then when you get to verses 32 through 33, it says, quote, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So there in verses 32 through 33, you can see very clearly what I read from there, that Jesus himself speaks very matter of fact that in terms of his confession, in other words, his identification or whatnot with those who profess to be believers, that he would do so, but you notice the location here is in heaven. So here we see just from the Lord's mouth in Matthew 10, 32 through 33, that Jesus speaks of it as a literal, actual place. And we can think of it as the place of God. So if we go back to the three heavens, this would be the third heaven, as identified sometimes in Scripture as the abode of God. Now, for the other location in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, Paul there reminds those in Philippi that although they were by extension Roman citizens, they had Roman citizenship, they lived in Philippi. And he uses that to remind them as well that ultimately a believer's citizenship is in heaven. And so there you see where Paul is making a contrast between a literal earth, in other words, a literal location of earth, versus a literal location of heaven. So again, you see Matthew 10, 32 through 33, Philippians 3, 20 through 21. And then the last one we're going to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 2. So again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 2. Now here, I use this one for a few reasons. First, we get the setting of this chapter 12, of course, being the latter part of the book to the Corinthians here, 2 Corinthians. Paul says in verse 1, boasting is necessary. Paul had an issue dealing with what some would call the supposed super apostles. They were boasting in a variety of things. Paul doesn't want to boast, but feels as though, in a sense, it's necessary. Because Paul is going to boast in his weakness. This is where we get the passage related to the thorn in the flesh, beginning in verse 7 and forward. But notice verse 2. Paul says that he is going to, in a sense, acquiesce or reluctantly tell of visions and revelations. And you'll notice in verse 2, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven." Now, the man in the description here, of course, later on when you read the passage, you see the man is identified as Paul. But nevertheless, what you see in this verse here is the reference to the third heaven, and Paul references a man who ends up being caught up. This is the word we get for the rapture, harpazo. there was a man who was caught up. He was snatched or seized away and taken up into the third heaven. And of course, we know the third heaven to be the abode of God. And so here you see Paul is very matter of fact in stating that he was taken up into what we would know as the abode of God, the third heaven. And so just from these three examples, Matthew 10, Philippians 3, and 2 Corinthians 12, there's clearly plenty of evidence in the Bible. If we take the Bible to be true, and I hope that you do in its entirety, then there's plenty of evidence that shows us that heaven is a real place and not some mythical, mysterious place. Now for our second question, what are some of the names in the Bible for heaven? Now, the Bible doesn't simply use the term heaven only, exclusively, but there's also some other names that are used in place of heaven. In other words, almost like a synonym, if you will. And let me give you some examples. The first is in John 14 and verse 2. There Jesus refers to my Father's house. So there he's speaking of his Father's house. And if you go back to the previous question, that would be the abode of God, the third heaven. Next is in the book of Hebrews. It's curious, the author of Hebrews has quite many references to heaven, but he uses some different terms or variants of that. For example, in Hebrews 11:16, he calls it the heavenly homeland. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, we actually have two different uses here. First is the city of the living God. But then he also refers to it as the heavenly Jerusalem. So again, in Hebrews 12:22, you have two variant forms of this. The city of the living God, and then the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, with the city of the living God, again, that goes back to the idea of the abode of God, the third heaven, my Father's house. So you see how all of these work and fit together nicely. Interestingly enough, the heavenly Jerusalem is referred to not only in Hebrews 12:22, but we're actually going to find how that is used as well in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, you have the same usage of it there. It's referred to as the holy city, New Jerusalem. And then, of course, as I just said, in Revelation 21 verse 2, you have the reference to the holy city. So in verse 2, you have both the New Jerusalem, if you will, but also the holy city. And if you have your Bibles, you'll notice in verse 2 of Revelation 21, it speaks of that the holy city and New Jerusalem come out of heaven from God. So again, the idea from the first and the second question is heaven is a real place. You see it as sometimes referred to as the third heaven. It's the abode of God. My Father's house, the heavenly homeland, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city, and such. So as you read through the Bible, it's helpful because there are some other names that are used for heaven, if you want to think of it as a synonym, if you will. And these are just other names and variant forms of that particular word, heaven. And that is useful as we read through the scripture. And now for our third and final question, do angels carry us, meaning believers, into heaven? So said another way, when a believer dies, does an angel or angels carry the believer into heaven or into the abode of God as we've described in the previous two questions? Now in this question, what you'll end up with is essentially two general understandings of how to answer that biblically. And of course, it's some will say yes and others will say no. I'm going to look at what would make someone say yes, though. because I think it will be helpful seeing how someone could arrive at the answer versus just simply saying the answer is no. Now, the main proof text, if you will, the main passage that is used for answering this question, if you answer it in an affirmative or a negative, is in Luke 16. So that's Luke 16, and the passage is 19 through 31. So Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And you might profit by reading through that if you're not familiar with it, but it is essentially what we know as the story or the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, I say that before we look at the text itself, because in a lot of ways, your view on whether Jesus is teaching this as a parable, as he often does, and in particular Luke, he does use and teach a lot of parables. Or is Jesus telling a true story, one that obviously, in other words, is a literal, actual story? And that is actually probably where you're going to land on the answer itself, is because this is the main text for that. Now, if you were a person who said no, you would just probably simply say, this is a parable, and while it teaches some general principles, one can't take it too far or too literal. The other is the approach that we'll look at so you can see how some would answer an affirmative with this, and I'll give you a few other passages as well. But for here, what you basically have in verses 19 through 31 is Jesus tells this story or parable, depending on how you take it, and he has two men. One is a rich man, verse 19, and then in verse 20 you have the poor man. And the poor man is actually given a name, and you see actually has a literal name, Lazarus. And so I emphasize that because that is where someone would say Jesus, usually when he teaches in a parable, the individuals are generic, if you will, rather than specific. But in any case, you have a contrast between a rich man and a poor man. The poor man is named Lazarus, and they both die. The one thing they have in common that Jesus teaches is that they both die. The rich man, of course, is the one who he starts with. But in verse 20 and verse 21, you have the description of the poor man Lazarus, and eventually he dies. I'm going to read verse 22 because this is where the idea of the angels carrying a believer into the presence of God at death comes from. Jesus says in verse 22, "Now the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and he was buried." So that actually is the text that most people will say, if this is a true story versus a parable, that it either teaches or perhaps teaches the possibility that an individual who is of God, meaning they're a part of God's family, today we would say that they are in Christ, and is taken to Abraham's bosom. Now you might be asking yourself, what does that mean? In the Ryrie Study Bible, Ryrie gives us a succinct answer. It essentially says, quote, "This is figurative language for paradise or the presence of God. See also 2 Corinthians 12:4, as well as Luke 23:43. And so what you have is in the story or parable, again, if you took it as a literal story, you would look at it and say, well, this poor man, he was part of God's family. He was a descendant, you might say, of Abraham. And when he died, angels took him into the presence of God and such. And so this would be the idea where the passage comes from. And so again, the way you interpret the passage, or if you read a commentary on it, the way the person interprets the passage is where they will land on answering that question. Now, before we go any further, I want you to turn now into Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 51. Now, as we look at this, we need to be careful with this because Of course, this is the ascension of Jesus. This is Luke's brief summary of it. And it's in Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. But you'll notice in verse 51, it says, "While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven." Some would say that in addition to the passage in Luke 16, that this also teaches the idea of angels at Jesus' ascension carrying him into the presence of God. Now, in order to really grasp where this comes from is, of course, in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verses 8 through 11, you have the account there of the ascension in Acts versus Luke. It's very similar. There's a few little nuance differences. But one thing you will notice is that in the account in Acts, in verse 10 of chapter 1, you see that there are two men in white who were standing there as Jesus was taken up into heaven. And so I mentioned these to you just to try to fill out and round out the answer, that there you see the other possibility of an additional proof text that says that angels escorted Jesus into heaven, and so perhaps they may do the same for believers. And so the answer to the question, and let's go back to the third and final question, do angels carry believers, carry us into heaven? I think the best way to answer this is we can't say dogmatically. And the primary reason is because in Luke 16, 19 through 31, we can't say conclusively if that's a parable or if that is an actual story. If it's an actual story that Jesus is telling, then, of course, that along with the Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1, that would definitely give credence to strong evidence for that being a possibility. Of course, the reverse is true, too. If Jesus was teaching that as a parable, then we would probably be on less solid ground to say that that is the case. But one thing we do know is that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. But certainly that does give a beautiful picture, and perhaps maybe the answer is to say just that. Perhaps when a believer dies in the Lord, he's taken into the presence of the Lord quickly, immediately, and is ushered in by angels. But either way, when a person dies in Christ, we know they go immediately into the presence of the Lord. And so hopefully that answers and gives some guidance on that third question. Well, that concludes today's episode, the second in a series on the topic of heaven. We'll return for another one, Lord willing, next time. So until then, thank you for tuning in, and we'll speak to you again next time. God bless.